for us to love all the more and to be more obedient to him and to want to serve him more. How would you treat somebody? You've got a $292,000 mortgage still remaining on your house. And if I came along and I put down a check and I paid it in full, man, you probably couldn't think of enough things to do to want to bless me, right? Come on. Well, God has done that through his son. And it wasn't a matter of money. It was a matter of flesh and blood with which he paid that debt. It wasn't an easy debt to settle. He paid our debt. He paid for the forgiveness of our sin. He paid for our right to everlasting life. He paid for the right for us to be able to step on the devil's head. He settled it all. And it should cause us all the more to love him. When Christ hung on that tree and he declared, "It is finished." Now that can be applied to so many scenarios. Like I just said, the victory over death, the victory over sin, forgiveness. It is finished. But it also meant our debt for our sin has been forgiven. It is finished. It's over. It's done. He completely satisfied divine justice. He says in here, the account is settled. The handwriting is nailed to the cross, and the receipt has been given to us. We hold on to it. I tell you, I hold on to all my receipts. I'm a financial nut. I only recently started thinking I got to start getting rid of these. I got, you know, these file boxes? You know. I got them going all the way back to like 1983. I got them in my garage. I got them in my attic. I said, well, what do I need these for? I hold on to receipts. Because you always think, when am I going to need it? I might need it. They might come back and say, you never paid for this. I said, oh, yes, I did. Well, maybe I didn't, but somebody did. It's been settled. So we've been given that receipt, and we're no longer in debt to him in that way. But we're also in debt to what I was speaking about before, his sovereignty. To be able to resolve in ourselves that God is sovereign, and no matter what he has called me to, or what he has led me through, or what he has brought me to, he is in control of it. And by me worrying about it, you know, we get phone calls. You know, you ever go up to somebody, hey, how you doing? Oh, I'm so worried about my son-in-law. You know, he this, he that, and he's, and they go on and on. That's in a sense declaring that you're not fully trusting in God. You're really not. Now, I know it's hard. I have children. Forget about the things they put us through. I didn't see God in it, in the midst of it. But, you know, think about things you went through 20 years ago, 30 years ago that kept you up at night, gave you agita, drove you crazy, and now you look back on it and you can actually see the hand of God in the midst of it, right? Well, do the same thing now with whatever you're walking through now. Well, let me give you a little Kamala Harris. What you're going through today is not what you went through yesterday, because tomorrow will be today. And when you get to tomorrow, you'll look back on yesterday as being yesterday. I'm sorry. But, come on. We've got to give it all to the Lord. You know, I was talking with my wife this morning, and I says, you know, you realize it's only about 8 weeks to the election. That's it. You know, we keep kind of thinking about it like it's somewhere off in the distance, but it's only about 8 weeks. And I'm praying, you know what I'm praying? What we really, really need is a landslide. Because if it's close, oh man, are we in trouble. Whichever way, you know, if somebody only wins by 100,000 votes or something, we're in trouble. There's going to be revolution. Forget about what happened on January 6th, you know, with Congress over there. We need a landslide. I'm praying, Lord, a landslide. And it's not a matter of a person. It's really not a matter of a person. It's for me, I'll be voting for what I believe is going come into fruition to help where we are and what we're going through. You know, so you vote accordingly, depending on what you believe is going to be better, is going to help. Ah. And you know, one of the last things I'll just touch on. You know what we're in debt to? Not justice, like I said, but as Charles Spurgeon says, we're in debt to his immutability. Now, you know what that means, immutability? I'll tell you what immutability means. It's something that can't change. When something is immutable, it cannot change, okay? It cannot change. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Thank God. Thank God, because you know us, we go with the wind. We change almost from day to day. You see it in many of the politicians. 10 years ago, they were for abortion. Now they're not for abortion. 10 years ago, they were for taxing the rich and helping the middle class. Now, depending on what people want, they go with the wind. Man is in no way immutable, but God is. So what he promised the Israelites as they were coming out of Egypt are still good today for us. We can still stand on those promises. And he's going to make it right, and he's going to do what's right. And we have so much to look forward to his kingdom. Whether we're still here or not when he comes, I've always said, man, I hope I'm still alive when he returns. I want to see him coming. I want to meet him in the air. I want to see those graves open. You know, and I'd just rather be alive when he comes. Hey, maybe, well, the way things are going, you never know. You never know. But what he has promised for us, either way, is beyond our comprehension. And his promises are yea and amen. He's immutable. If we could just take on those aspects of God and really let them sink in and apply to our lives would be so much easier. We're facing, I'm sure as all of you are, in various ways, shapes, or form, decisions. We come to a point of decision almost every day in our lives. We're facing decisions. If we could take those decisions and just place them in his hands, he says he has the whole world in his hands, place those decisions and allow him to minister to us and then perhaps through us in working out whatever the scenario is, whatever the situation is. But no, we're so foolish sometimes. We take on the weight of the world. We take it on our shoulders, and we think we have the power and the strength to overcome them. Now, I'm not saying you just sit back and do nothing. God, you got everything under control, so I'm coming along for the ride. No, God has given us all gifts. He's given us all different abilities to do things, and he expects us to be used in the kingdom in the various ways that he's going to use us. But when it comes to those things, those decisions where you just need the mind of God, I don't have the solution. I don't know what to do. Well, you got one, basically two choices. You can sit and worry about it and get an ulcer, or you can just turn it over to the Lord. Now, here's the hard part. The Lord doesn't always answer our prayers the way we think he should. We've seen that a million times. But we have to be able to trust that regardless of the outcome, I'm believing what he says in his word, that he works all things out for the good. And I'm going to say it again, and I always qualify and clarify when people preach on that verse in Scripture, because it doesn't say he works all things out for the good for those who love him and are called according to his purposes. He says he works all things out for good to those who love him and are called according. So anything that happens to you, good or bad, he's going to use for the good, ultimately. It may take my dying to get maybe one of my kids saved. I believe they all are. I'm just using that as an example. I saw it in my father-in-law. My father-in-law, you know how it is when you first get saved. You're on fire for God, and you want to save everybody in the world. And anybody you meet, man, you just dump the whole Bible on them. As much as you know, you've only been saved for 3 days, and you're already a preacher. You know? But right? Didn't we all do that? Okay, we beat him over the head with it. Well, we did that for a couple of years until my father-in-law said, stop. Far as I'm concerned, the Bible is just a book written by a bunch of smart Jews to keep the people in line. Leave me alone. So we did for about 30 years. Until he came down with terminal cancer. And we had the opportunity to minister to him, and he was dead within 10 weeks. But within those 10 weeks, he came to know the Lord in a way like many of us probably don't even know the Lord. And you know, here's the part. Just before this happened, my wife was so concerned about her father, because he's getting older now, retired, getting older. She said, Lord, whatever it takes to get him saved, whatever it takes, Lord, do it. Well, it took killing him. That's how I look at it. It took killing him to get him saved. But as a result of that, we saw his son and his wife and their kids come to know the Lord. We saw his brother-in-law, Uncle Carl, come up for the wake. And after we schmoozed a little bit, he was staying with us, and we come back to the house, and Uncle Carl, can we give you something? You want a cup of coffee? He says, I want what you have. He says, well, I'm having coffee. No, I want what you have. What do you mean? I want what you have. So I think it was my wife. She said, what do you mean? You got a piece? You got something? I want what you have. And we were able to lead him to the Lord. And for the rest of his life, he began attending church, right? And, you know, but it took this man's death. God is sovereign. And I've said it a million times, he don't care so much about this. He really doesn't. He cares more about souls. And whatever it's going to take to bring souls into the kingdom, he's going to do. But we have to be able to accept that, receive it, believe it, and stand on it. Even in the midst of wanting to scream out, what are you doing? How many times do we pray for somebody who's maybe terminally ill? And here's our wisdom. Lord, can you imagine if you heal them, what a testimony they would have and how many lives they can touch? You see how we rationalize? Because we want them healed. I don't think we're really as concerned with the lives they may touch as we are. We just want them healed. But God knows that perhaps by not taking them, how many lives are going to be touched. This is a hard concept to want to believe. You know, we don't want to believe that. We read the scriptures where he says, before Jacob and Esau were even born, Jacob I love, but Esau I hated. Why? Why, God? Because he knew them before they were formed in their mother's womb, and he knew what they would do and where they would go and who they would be and the kind of men they would be from before they were born. So he loved what Jacob was going to become, and he hated what Esau was going to become. He knows. He knows. Amen?
Yes,
amen. So we, as he's wiped away our sins and we are no longer debtors to his justice, we know we can stand before him on that day, and he's going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the kingdom because of what his son did for us.
Yes,
okay, so we're no longer going to be, we're already justified in a sense in his sight because of what his son has done for us. But because of that, it should cause us to love more, to love others, to be forgiving towards others. You know, his word says, you know, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive others. You know what that word says? Forgive us as we forgive others. Not forgive us because we forgive others. Forgive us as, in the same way that we forgive others is how God is going to forgive us. So if you are unforgiving, you don't have a forgiving spirit, first thing you better pray for is, Lord, give me a forgiving spirit.
Yes.
Lord, I don't want to forgive them. Well, help me to want to forgive them. And you know, it's when it comes to forgiveness, it's not a matter of, okay, it never happened. You know, we're good buddy buddies. You know, we're going to hang out together and have lunch together. And no, what it is, forgiveness really is just no longer holding it against them. No longer going to hold it against them. I'm not going to forget. You know, people say forgive and forget. Yeah? Try it. I have someone many, many, many years ago that wronged me very bad. Someone in the family that wronged me very badly. I had just come out of the Marines. Man, I was fit. Was I fit and strong and built? And I wanted to kill him. I was literally, my brother had to stop me. I was really going to take it to him and hurt him real bad. Well, years have gone by, and he came to know the Lord and all, and I've forgiven him. But, you know, every time I'm with him, I think of it. I remember it. And under my breath, I want to say, you son. But I don't. Because I've truly forgiven. I'm not holding it against. If he needed my help tomorrow, I would go and help him. I wouldn't say, oh, not after what you did to me. If I did take that attitude, I believe the Lord would have the same attitude with me. You can't forgive your brother, and you want me to forgive you for what you've done? You've broken them all, just about. We are indebted to forgive, to love. We're indebted to his mercy. We're indebted to his grace. Because everything he's done for us, we don't deserve it. We never did. We never will. But he did it anyway. While we were yet sinners, he died for us. Yeah. What more could you ask for? Amen? Amen. Let's remember that. Stand with me. Father, these things that you've just given me to share, Lord, are not easy things. They're not easy things as us carnal human beings that you've created us to be. They're not easy things to comprehend and to apply. Yeah, we think of them, we read them, we hear them, and we agree with them. But then when it comes to applying them to our lives so often, it's so difficult, Lord. Father, we need you now more than ever before, like we sang. More than ever before, because the life and the world has become so complicated, and it's beyond our ability to just work it all out. So, Father, I pray for supernatural wisdom, provision, patience, and waiting upon you, that you will work it out, whatever it is, Father. Lord, we need you now more than ever before, Father. Thank you that we are not concerned with your justice being applied to our lives because of what your son has done for us. He's paid our debt. We have a receipt. And we know that you are not a God who changes and you will not go back on your word. So, Father, we give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Hey, look, it's early. Cafe is open. Let's have a little bit of fellowship and